Origins, A Return to Clarity by J. Dot Hamilton. A Visionaries Lab Press Publication, Sedona, Arizona. For more information, visionarieslab.com, coreresonance.com. Comments are welcome. visionarieslab.com/contact. Corrections at visionarieslab.com. To those who have felt the quiet pull of something more, to the listeners, the seekers, and the self-starters, to those willing to trust what they feel and follow it forward, and to those willing to listen and grow, this is for you. It all started when I was 22 years old with a book called The Lazy Man's Way to Riches by Joe Carbo, which introduced me to affirmations and goal setting. 3 years later, I owned a 40-foot sailboat. By the age of 30, I was retired and spent 8 years sailing some of the prettiest waters in the world. Long story short, I moved off the boat and back to land when I realized I wanted to see women in skirts and high heels again. I was also ready for a desk, but there's more to the story, much more. Table of Contents. A Note to the Reader. Preface. Part 1. The Personal Awakening. Chapter 1. Sailing into the Connection. Chapter 2. The Ocean as Teacher. Chapter 3. The Boat Was My Mirror. Chapter 4. Charting the Inner Waters. Chapter 5. Storm Lessons. Chapter 6. The Compass Within. Part 2. Integration Through Relationship. Chapter 7. The Return to Shore. Chapter 8. We Voyage Through and Among People. Chapter 9. Refining the Self Through Relationship. Chapter 10. The Shift Toward Ultimate Personal Performance. Part 3. Humanity's Evolution and Your Role. Chapter 11. From Fear to Flame. Chapter 12. The Rise of Co-Creators. Chapter 13. The Formula. Resistance and Consciousness Are Inverse. Chapter 14. Blending with Source. Part 4. Mastery, Simplicity, and Stewardship. Chapter 15. From Resistance to Clarity. Chapter 16. The Intelligence of Simplicity. Chapter 17. The New Leadership, Connection-Driven Stewardship. Chapter 18. Closing Reflection, Sailing Home to Source. Epilogue. A few words from the author. A next step. Part 1. The Personal Awakening. Chapter 1. Sailing into the Connection. At just 25 years and 9 months, with no family money, no formal education, and barely graduating from high school, I bought my dream boat, a beautiful 2-year-old Pearson, 39 centerboard yawl. The boat wasn't just fiberglass and rigging. For me, it was evidence that something deeper was possible. Natural Habits, as she came to be known, became a floating symbol of what happens when you harness your subconscious mind, set goals, align with what's true, and move forward with clarity. Early on, I discovered, through trial and error, the power of affirmations. I didn't fully understand the mechanics at the time, but I knew they worked. They reshaped my focus. They turned intention into direction, direction into outcomes, and outcomes into new kinds of success. Affirmations became my first compass. Goal setting became my first map. And the y'all became my first success story. But over time, something deeper began to emerge. Success, as I understood it then, wasn't the whole story. The outer journey began, revealing an inner one. About that time, meditation entered my life, not as a trend, but as a quiet calling. It refined everything. It brought stillness. It changed how I perceived. I grew, and I relaxed, and I let go. And eventually, meditation introduced me to what I now call the connection. The connection is subtle and has always been there, but it doesn't announce itself. It's something you begin to notice once you go beneath the noise of the mind and the activity of the world. The more you listen, the more you let go, the more it becomes apparent and available. At some point, your success begins to shift. It becomes less about achieving what you want and more about refining what you want. You begin to sense that you're not here just to accumulate or accomplish. You're here to align with something more intelligent, more orderly, and more true. Your world begins to unfold as more prosperous, connected, and abundant. The connection is simply a way of describing the guidance that naturally accompanies that alignment, whether we call it source, innate intelligence, God, or something else. It becomes a kind of internal rudder, a way of tuning thought, a quiet course correction for the better when the mind assumes it knows best. Soar Affirm emerged from this progression, not as theory, but as a synthesis of experience, self-direction, subconscious conditioning, listening, and soon enough, new results. It's less about pushing forward, more about aligning, noticing, and allowing. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to begin listening. Chapter 2: The Ocean as Teacher. The ocean doesn't speak in words. It communicates through rhythm, movement, and response. You don't control it. You learn to work with it. And in doing so, something shifts. The ocean teaches patience, not as an idea, but as a requirement. It teaches presence, because without it, things don't go well. Over time, you begin to feel changes rather than think about them. Winds shift, currents change, balance adjusts, and you begin to notice things you missed. And if you're paying attention, you respond accordingly. The ocean showed me that control is an illusion, not because things can't be directed, but because force tends to work against the very system you're moving to and through. The more I let go of force and paid attention to what was actually happening, the better things went. There's something else that becomes obvious after enough time on the water. You're always being supported. Even when conditions are rough, something is holding you up. There's an underlying order that doesn't require your management. At some point, you can begin to let go. Life begins to feel more grounded, and an inner strength becomes apparent. What seems chaotic at first begins to show patterns of order. What feels uncertain begins to reveal structure. And the more aligned you are internally, the more manageable and even fluid things become externally. The ocean became a teacher in that sense, not through explanation, but through practice and experience. Chapter 3: The Boat Was My Mirror. I began to notice that natural habits didn't respond to what I thought about myself. Instead, she responded to how I showed up. Clarity produced movement. Distraction produced friction. Presence produced flow. In that way, the boat became a mirror. What was happening internally showed up externally, almost immediately. There was no room for pretense, no buffer between thought and result. If I was calm, the system worked smoothly. If I was scattered, things became inefficient. If I was clear, the response was overwhelmingly useful. That kind of feedback changes you. You begin to take responsibility, not as a burden, but as a simple cause and effect relationship and understanding. The boat didn't judge. It didn't correct. It simply responded. And over time, I began to understand something. It wasn't about controlling the boat. It was about becoming the kind of person the boat responded well to. That shift from controlling conditions to refining self became foundational. The ocean and the boat weren't just environments. They were training systems that taught me that ease is the pace of alignment. That realization stayed with me. It still does. Chapter 4. Charting the Inner Waters. What worked on the water began to translate inward. Navigation, I realized, wasn't just external. It had an internal counterpart. Out there, I learned to read wind, stars, and movement. Within, I began to notice thoughts, emotions, and patterns. Charting the inner waters meant paying attention to what moved me and what disrupted that movement. Old beliefs, conditioned responses, residual doubt. They functioned like currents pulling me off course. But just like navigation at sea, there was always something stable to reference. For me, that became the connection. Something identified and written about since the earliest of times. Not as a concept, but as something felt, something consistent, something you could return to. When you begin to recognize that, something changes. And over time, you develop a different relationship with life itself. You stop drifting. You begin to steer, not through force, but through awareness, adjustment, and resonance. Chapter 5. Storm Lessons. No one forgets their first real storm. The conditions intensify. The margin for error narrows, and everything becomes immediate. What matters simplifies quickly. Stay balanced. Stay aware. Stay calm. Panic, more than anything else, creates problems. The storm itself is energy, but unmanaged response, that's where escalation begins. That pattern isn't limited to the ocean. Life presents its own versions. Financial pressure, emotional conflict, and unexpected disruption. And in those moments, the same principle applies. What's happening externally is one thing. How you respond internally determines the outcome. Storms reveal structure and lack of structure. They show what's stable and what isn't. What's essential and what isn't. And once you've been through them, something changes. You don't navigate the same way again. You learn, and life gets easier. Chapter 6. The Compass Within. External tools are useful, but over time, you begin to rely on something else. A quieter signal. A consistent pull. Something that doesn't argue, but doesn't disappear either. Some call it intuition. Some call it guidance. Some call it an inner knowing. I call it the connection. It doesn't promise ease, but it points to clarity. And the more you follow it, the more reliable it becomes. It shifts how you approach what is in front of you. Instead of chasing outcomes, you begin selecting based on resonance and how things feel. Instead of forcing movement, you begin aligning with it. That doesn't remove challenge, but it changes how you move through it. You begin to notice that clarity doesn't always come from thinking. It more generally comes from listening or waiting for the quiet and that intuitive insight. And in that, something stabilizes. Things get better. Part 2: Integration Through Relationship. Chapter 7: The Return to Shore. What we discover within ourselves doesn't remain isolated. Sooner or later, it meets the world and the people in it. And it's there, in that relationship with others, that our understanding truly begins to take shape. Every voyage circles back. Even the longest stretch at sea eventually returns to land. But you don't return the same. The return to shore is where integration happens. Experience becomes applicable. Insight becomes usable. What was internal begins to express outwardly. It's also where something else becomes clear. What you've learned isn't just for you. It naturally begins to extend into how you relate, how you communicate, and how you show up. Soar Affirm emerged in that way. Not as an idea, but as a continuation, a way to share structure around something that had already proven itself through experience. And just like on the ocean, we're still learning. We're still adjusting. We're still paying attention. The environment changes. The conditions shift. We can always do better, but the process remains the same. Notice, adjust, continue, refine, repeat. Chapter 8. We voyage through and among people. We don't navigate life in isolation. Even when we're self-directed, we move through environments shaped by other people. Interactions, conversations, agreements, misunderstandings. Each one provides feedback. Some interactions are easy, others are not. But all of them serve a function. They reveal where you're clear, where you're reactive, and where you're still holding tension. In that sense, people become part of your navigation system. Not something to control, but something to learn from. Listening becomes more important here. Not just listening to others, but noticing your own internal response. Where do you tighten? Where do you relax? Where do you become clear? That information is useful. It refines how you move. And over time, you begin to recognize something. Not every interaction needs to be continued. Some are brief, some are directional, some are complete, and part of refinement is knowing the difference. Chapter 9: Refining the Self Through Relationship. Relationships have a way of reflecting things back. Sometimes clearly, sometimes indirectly, but consistently. You see where you're aligned and where you're not. Contrast plays a role here, not as conflict, but as information. When something doesn't feel right, it becomes easier to recognize what does. That refinement happens over time. You begin to make different choices. Thoughts that feel cleaner. Actions that feel more direct. Directions that feel more stable. You get better results, and those choices compound. Results begin to align more naturally. Not necessarily perfectly, but more consistently. You begin to trust the process, not as a belief, but as something observed and felt, And in that, relationships become less about managing others and more about refining your own position within them. You learn to help yourself. Chapter 10, The Shift Toward Ultimate Personal Performance. Over time, a shift begins to occur. It's subtle at first, then more consistent. You begin to notice that how you operate affects everything around you, not through control, but through resonance and allowing. When you're clear, things tend to move more smoothly. When you're reactive, things tend to become more complex. So the focus shifts. Less on forcing outcomes, more on refining how you're showing up. You begin to listen more, react less, allow more space, and something follows. Less resistance, more ease, more effective movement, better results. Not every situation becomes simple, but your approach to it becomes more stable. You're no longer pulled as strongly into extremes. You begin operating from a more consistent baseline. And from there, performance changes. Not as effort, but as alignment and truth. You're not performing for others. You're functioning more effectively within the system you're already part of. And that creates a different kind of result. With a different kind of result, it sets the path for your next experience to turn out better. Part 3, Humanity's Evolution and Your Role. Chapter 11, From Fear to Flame. What we begin to see in ourselves and in each other doesn't remain personal. Over time, patterns begin to emerge. Direction becomes more visible, and we start to sense that individual experience is part of something larger. Humanity didn't begin with clarity. It began with survival. We stayed close to what was known. We relied on the group. We avoided what we didn't understand. The unknown was something to fear, and for a long time, that made sense. But eventually, something began to shift. Curiosity replaced caution. Questions replaced assumptions. Individuals began to step slightly beyond the group. At first, only a few, then more. Over time, that movement expanded. We learned to think independently, to question structure, to explore beyond immediate survival. And in that, something developed. A sense of self, not separate from everything, but distinct within it. This stage isn't about rejecting the collective. It's about becoming a clear individual within it. Not dissolving into the group, but contributing to it with awareness. That's where things begin to change. When individuals become more clear, the collective begins to shift as well. Not through force, but through accumulation and resonance. And that process is ongoing and ever unfolding. Chapter 12, The Rise of Co-Creators. As individual clarity develops, something else becomes possible. Not just independence, but coordination. Not the old model of dependence, but something more balanced. Interdependence. This isn't a return to earlier structures. It's a different form of gathering. Individuals who have developed their own clarity begin to align, not through pressure, but through resonance. They recognize similar patterns, similar direction, similar intent, similarities. And from that, something forms. Not rigid, not imposed, but functional. A kind of distributed intelligence. Each person remains distinct, but contributes to a larger, coherent whole. This is where collaboration becomes different. Less about agreement, more about alignment. Less about hierarchy, more about contribution. You don't lose individuality. You refine it, and it becomes more useful within a broader context. That's the beginning of a different kind of system. Chapter 13. The formula. Resistance and consciousness are inverse. There's a simple relationship that becomes noticeable over time. As resistance decreases, awareness increases. Not instantly, not perfectly, but consistently enough to observe and see your progress. Resistance shows up in different ways. Tension, rigidity, overcontrol, mental looping. When those states are active, clarity tends to narrow. When they reduce, even slightly, something opens. Not dramatically, but noticeably. Space increases. Response improves. Perception broadens. Allowing grows. Breathing relaxes. Outcomes expand. This doesn't require eliminating the mind, but it does involve changing its role. The mind is used for processing, organizing, and applying. But when it tries to manage everything, including uncertainty, it overloads. And in that state, it generates more resistance. When that pressure reduces, something else becomes accessible. A quieter form of awareness. A quieter form of outcomes. A quieter form of success. Not analytical, but still functional. And over time, you begin to recognize when each mode is useful. Thinking has its place, but it's not the only tool available. Chapter 14. Blending with Source. As resistance continues to decrease, another shift becomes noticeable. Not as a concept, but as an experience. You begin to feel more integrated with your surroundings, less divided internally, less reactive externally, more consistent overall. This is often described in different ways: alignment, flow, groundedness, coherence, resonance, joy and peace, and an inner knowing. Different words, but pointing to a similar state. You're still functioning in the same environment, but your interaction with it changes. Decisions feel cleaner. Actions feel more direct. Outcomes come with ease. And outcomes match with other outcomes. Synchronicity, harmony, and order begins to prevail. This doesn't initially create perfection, but it does create stability. And from that stability, contribution becomes easier. Not because you're trying to contribute, but because you're functioning in a way that naturally produces useful outcomes. At that point, something becomes clear. You're not separate from the system you're moving within. You're participating in it. And how you function affects what you experience. Not as a belief, but as something observable. You become usefully influential, and you become lighter in your step. Part 4. Mastery, Simplicity, and Stewardship. Chapter 15. From Resistance to Clarity. If even part of this is true, something begins to follow. Not all at once, but gradually. How you operate begins to change. As resistance decreases, functioning becomes more efficient. Not because more effort is applied, but because less friction is present. You begin to notice cleaner outcomes, fewer unnecessary complications, and more consistent movement. What once required mind begins to require less, and in that, something else becomes possible. True contribution. Not as obligation, but as a natural extension of how you operate. You begin to create, build, organize, and resonate. Not from pressure, but from clarity. Decisions improve. Timing improves. Execution becomes more precise. Flow becomes natural and apparent. Outcomes work. This applies across all walks of life. Work, business, communication, creation, and relationships. Not because the environment changes, but because your interaction with it does. And over time, that compounds. What once felt complex becomes manageable. What once felt distant becomes accessible. Not immediately, but progressively. And then, it gets better than that. Chapter 16, The Intelligence of Simplicity. As awareness increases, something unexpected happens. Things become simpler. Not reduced, but refined and easier. The mind tends to add more structure, more explanation, more contingency. But it doesn't necessarily improve outcomes. In many cases, it introduces noise. When that noise decreases, what remains is more direct, more usable, more effective, and more elegant. Nature operates this way. No excess, no unnecessary complexity, just coherent function. When your internal state becomes more aligned, your external approach begins to reflect that. You do less, but it works better. You choose more precisely. You act more cleanly. You avoid what doesn't need to be engaged. Guidance begins to deliver flow, and your outcomes continue to improve. This isn't minimalism for its own sake. It's efficiency through clarity and ease. And from that, something else becomes available. Capacity. You're no longer spending energy on what doesn't matter. So what does matter becomes easier to sustain. Chapter 17. The New Leadership. Connection-driven stewardship. Leadership changes under these conditions. Not dramatically, but fundamentally. It moves away from control, image, force, and resistance, and toward clarity, stability, consistency, flow, and acceptance. This doesn't make leadership passive. It makes it more effective. You're no longer trying to manage everything. You're setting direction and maintaining coherence. Others respond to that, not because they're being pushed, but because the system itself begins to organize more efficiently. Decisions become clearer, not just for you, but for those around you. Communication improves, not through volume, but through precision and resonance. And over time, trust increases through resonance and shared ideals, not as a concept, but as a result of consistent experience. This is stewardship, not ownership, not dominance, but responsibility applied with clarity. And when that stabilizes, something broader begins to shift. Groups function better. Systems become more adaptive. Outcomes improve. Everything gets better, measurably. Chapter 18, Closing Reflection, Sailing Home to Source. At some point, the process becomes familiar. Not predictable, but recognizable, reliable, and natural. You begin to notice by how you feel, when you're aligned, when you're not, what works, what doesn't. And adjustments become smaller, more immediate, less dramatic. You come to see the importance of your state. The journey doesn't end, but it changes in tone. Less searching, more refining, less forcing, more allowing. You're still moving forward, but with a different relationship to movement itself. And in that, something stabilizes. A sense of direction that doesn't depend entirely on external confirmation. This is where alignment becomes practical. The mind still has its uses. It can organize, remember, compare, and carry out what has already become clear. But it was never meant to be the source of guidance in your life. Guidance comes through a quieter mechanism. You feel it before you can explain it. You sense it before the mind agrees. You recognize it because something in you becomes less resistant, more settled, and more available. This is the connection at work. Not as belief, not as theory, but as an internal mechanism you can learn to notice and trust. It refines your outcomes. The movement is simple and actually quite easy. Let the mind's output soften. Notice what remains. Listen for what becomes clear. Move from there. It's a feeling you can learn to recognize. A resonance that helps distinguish what aligns from what does not. That is how force begins to give way to flow. That is how resistance begins to give way to guidance. That is how clarity becomes usable and your life unfolds differently. And your outcomes begin to reflect your highest alignment. This is also where personal power changes. It is no longer power pushed through the mind. It is power expressed through alignment. And as alignment deepens, solutions increasingly begin to appear differently. Patterns and order become far more visible. Timing improves. Outcomes serve your larger order. What once required effort begins to arrive as coherence, resonance, and flow. You don't need everything mapped out. You simply need to learn how to recognize the next true step and take it. This is where the real practice begins. Learn how to let life unfold. It can do a better job than you can. Alignment becomes available when the mind steps aside and the connection becomes functional. J. Hamilton. Epilogue. A few words from the author. At a certain point, all of this becomes less about understanding and more about how you want to feel. What may have started as an idea becomes something you begin to notice as the quality of your outcomes. Something you learn to trust, not as an idea, but as an experience and how it feels. You will discover that how you feel and the quality of your state of being powerfully influences your outcomes. We tend to separate things: brain, body, mind, or something beyond all three. But in practice, they function together. The brain processes, the body senses, the mind comments, compares, protects, and projects forward. And something quieter connects the whole system. When the mind dominates, things often feel noisy, effortful, and narrowed, and the subtle is drowned out. When the mind begins to soften, another kind of intelligence becomes available. It does not argue. It does not posture. It does not need to prove itself. It is felt. This is guidance becoming practical. The mind isn't a problem, but it has limits. It works well with what it already knows, but it doesn't always recognize what's new, and it is not guidance. When it tries to manage everything, including uncertainty, it tends to create more noise, more resistance. The body operates differently. It responds in real time. Subtle signals, shifts in tension, changes in ease. It registers what's happening as feeling or intuition long before the mind attempts to manage or explain it. And when you begin to pay attention to that, something becomes useful. A different kind of feedback from the body, and a new kind of direction ensues. Some refer to this as intuition. Some call it guidance. Others know it as how you feel about something. Here, it's simply part of what we've been referring to as the connection. Not as a concept, but as something that becomes noticeable when things quiet down and your outcomes improve. The process itself isn't complicated. It's intuitive. You notice. You adjust. You continue. Over time, your patterns refine themselves. You begin to recognize what leads to clarity and what leads away from it. And from that, your decisions begin to shift. For me, it began with affirmations, later, meditation, and eventually, a more direct form of listening became available, reducing my dependence on the mind. Each step reduced noise. Each step refined perception. And each step reduced resistance. This isn't about fixing your life. It's about refining how you interact within it. When that shifts, outcomes tend to follow. Not instantly, but consistently enough to notice. A new type of success becomes compelling, no matter what anyone thinks, including yourself. Some call it cause and effect. If something in this material resonated with you, there's likely a reason. You don't need to define it immediately. You don't need to act on everything at once. You can simply begin by paying attention. What do you feel? Alarm? Comfort, ease. Over time, I came to see something more clearly. The quality of what we create and experience and feel is directly related to the depth of our connection with Source. Not as a rule, but as something that becomes noticeable and immutable, and something you can count on. As resistance drops, allowing grows. As allowing grows, your connection with Source expands. Because it is something that is part of you. Subtle listening is what we learn to do because our connection with Source comes through us as guidance. Recognize that what we feel is the secret to our outcomes. How you feel contains far more insight than the mind can manage. Stay true to what feels truest for you, and learn to discern what is truest for you. It takes a bit of practice and a bit of patience. But it doesn't require belief, just a willingness to notice, and a type of relaxation. You can dramatically refine how you live your life and better enjoy its outcomes. As you learn how to read life differently, you will get more refined results. Your life can dramatically improve. If you find this interesting, you're already on your way. And next step. If something in this book resonates with you, there is a natural next step to explore. SoraFirm is a structured practice to deliver to you what we've just touched on. This shift from mind-based striving to guidance-based living becomes something you work with directly, day by day. By the way, all of nature works this way. So it is approved. Not more mental information gathering. Not more complexity, but actually a letting go of what doesn't serve you. A way to quiet the mind, refine your inner listening, and begin trusting the connection as a practical force in your day-to-day life. I call it newfound synchronicity, harmony, and order. If you feel the pull, follow it, If not, put it aside for the time being. Either way, you'll know. Peace and plenty. Namaste. J. Hamilton. To learn more, visionarieslab.com/origins-soraphirm. Thank you. P.S. Spot, the ship's cat when he was a baby. Spot the cat was as good as they get. Born in Key Largo, Florida, he traveled with me throughout the Florida Keys, the Bahamas, and all the way to Sedona, Arizona. He was always ready to go and had more self-esteem than a lot of people I knew. Spot was a good guy.